It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In chapter 6 of the book of Ephesians, we read much about being servants. And as we study this, it's not only written to the Christian as such. If we would just really get into it, we see that it's also written for those people who are not saved. Well, in other words, as we study chapter 6 of the book of Ephesians, we're seeing that in the verse that we're going to start here in just a moment, verse 6, we're going to see that God has the unsaved person in mind as well, those people who have never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, that they need to be treated just as we would want to be treated. And we'll see that later on in our study as we continue on in chapter 6 of the book of Ephesians. Well, just before we read verse 6, I'd like to read verse 5, and then I'll go right into verse 6. Ephesians 6:5 says, "Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart." Well, notice the term here, the part of that verse says, not with eye service. That is, not with service done only under the eye of the boss, or in other words, when he is watching. I was once asked by someone that I worked for, what scripture do you look at as you're working, as you're doing what you're supposed to do to make a living? Well, I look back to these verses and I see this, that it's not to be with eye service. In other words, I don't work, or I did not work simply to be seen or because I was being seen. I work because it is of God, that God would place me in a position that I was under someone who had authority over me, and I was to treat that individual as my boss. I was to treat that individual with respect. And because I was getting paid, I was doing something to earn money, and therefore I needed to work, not simply to be seen or have the boss look at me and say, you know, be watching me, and I would work simply because someone is watching. And I'll read that in just a moment. I'll go through that. But it says, not with eye service. And that is not with service done only under the eye of the boss. And this is what I told my boss at that time. In other words, it's when he's watching. The apostle here points to one of the evils of unwilling subjection as it exists. It exists everywhere. It is that some people who answer to others will sometimes only obey when the boss is watching. Well, the willful worker who agrees to labor for agreed upon wages may be trusted when the boss is out of sight, when he's doing it as unto the Lord. We're going to read more about that as we continue on in chapter 6 of Ephesians. See, when a person who is unwilling to submit to the work agreed upon, after agreeing to work for the wages that have been agreed upon, if that person refuses to carry out his part of the agreement, then there must be consequences for that person. Notice, not with eye service, the verse says. See, if that person refuses to carry out his part of the agreement, then there must be consequences. Well, of course, one of those consequences would be that the unfaithful worker is fired. And other consequences can result for unfaithfulness on the part of the one who refuses to work. And it could be as a result of losing the job, the loss of a home, even the loss of a family, or we think of food. And many things would come about if that person who refuses to do what is expected to receive the money that they have agreed to work for, they could actually lose their job, lose their family, lose their home, and so much more. So the person who's working needs to be faithful. Now, Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." Now, I've been acquainted with many Christians throughout my Christian life as pastor, as a worker for the Lord. I've been acquainted with many people. Some people I've met, they say they have decided to go into full-time service for serving the Lord. And this would mean that they would quit working in a menial job, earning money, that they would let the Lord take care of them. Well, there's nothing wrong with that as long as they are following the Lord's leading. Some of these people that I've met, they do not believe that they have a responsibility of taking care of their family. They depend on others to take care of their family. In other words, they depend on money coming in from other sources to pay for their family. At the same time, they do nothing for the Lord's work. Well, they may show up occasionally for church service or something like that, and they may say that they're serving God, but sometimes there's no evidence. Now, these people who are say they are serving God, there's no evidence of that. The Bible says, and Paul speaking in 2 Thessalonians, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you that if any would not work, neither should he eat." People need to be obedient to God. God expects us to serve Him in spirit and in truth, and at the same time as we work, we need to take into consideration that we do have a family or we have responsibilities that we must perform as saved people. We must work in order to make a living. Now, for the person who is laboring for the Lord, the Bible says the laborer is worthy of his hire. If he's working for the Lord, that person is working to serve God, then there's arrangements made so that that person would receive a proper amount of money in order to live. Well, we need to keep in mind that God is generous, that God is fair, and He will take care of us if, once again, we're doing what He wants us to do. Sometimes we get out of the will of God and we say, "Lord, something's missing here. What's going on?" And He gets our attention and lets us know that we are out of His will. And therefore, at that time, we confess our sin and say, "Oh, Lord, forgive me. I've done wrong." And once again, I've said this over and over again, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we're to work. We are to do what God has for us to do. Now, there's another aspect of this, not only physical labor, but notice what 2 Timothy 2:15 says. "Study to show thyself approved unto God." Notice the words here now. "A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Well, the result of unfaithfulness on the part of a believer who refuses to work in studying the word, what is the result? It's spiritual anemia. Well, I believe this is why there are so many isms among God's people today. There seems to be a lot of confusion. Reading and hearing the Word of God on Sunday is not enough. Reading and hearing the Word of God on Wednesday night is not enough. The preacher or evangelist is not responsible for your spiritual anemia. They didn't cause it. If you are spiritually anemic, well, it's your fault if you are spiritually anemic. You are the one who needs to study. It is not the pastor, the preacher, or evangelist's responsibility to study for you. The command from God is for you to study the Word of God for your spiritual health. Again, 2 Timothy 2:15 says that to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The pastor, the preacher, and evangelist can help encourage you in your spiritual growth, but they are not the Word of God. The Word of God does the work. The Word of God is what helps us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, a worker who is saved, a workman, is not only in the physical area of life, but it's also in the spiritual area of life. Once again, I believe the reason we see so much turmoil and grief and strife in local churches today is because God's people refuse to get into the Word of God. Well, let me read just a few more verses now in this section of Scripture that we're in, and with this thought in mind of working in the Word, of studying the Word. You see, the Lord has given us wonderful promises in His Word. In Psalms chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord." That means His Word. "And in His law, in His Word, doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." That means the person who's in the Word of God is not going to be spiritually anemic. Well, what's the opposite of getting into the Word of God and growing stronger in the Word of God? What is the opposite of being blessed for delighting in God's Word? Who are those not in the Word of God compared to? Well, Psalm 1 continues on by letting us know the comparison here between the person who's studying and the person who's not. Verse 4 through 6 says, "The ungodly are not so. They're not like the person we read about who's in the Word of God, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Well, the idea here is it doesn't mean that that person who's saved, who does not get in the Word of God, is not saved and not going to heaven. That does not mean that at all. It's pointing to the fact that that person who is not in the Word of God, they're going to act just like the unsaved people do. They're not going to have the testimony of a saved person who is serving God, who's working, who's getting into the Word of God. Now, we certainly are not saved by works. We're certainly not saved by studying, by being a workman. The Bible's teaching us before you can understand the Word of God, you must be born again. You must know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And I've said this before, that when a person gets saved, they have the Spirit of God living with them. Jesus Christ said he was going to go back to heaven. He did. He said if he would go back, and he did, he would send another Comforter. And he goes on to tell us in the book of John that when this Comforter would come, he would lead us into all truth. That means leading us through the Word of God. And guess what? The Holy Spirit did come. The Holy Spirit does live within each of us who name Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The Bible tells us, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The Bible tells us, once again, Jesus told us that those people who call upon the name of the Lord, those people who get saved, they have the Holy Spirit living within them. And He is going to guide and lead the saved person into all truth. When we get saved, we're to get into the Word of God. We're to study the Word of God. We're to be workmen. It takes work to get into the Word of God and go in there. Study the Word of God and let God lead you into the way that and the things that you need to be doing. Now, God is all powerful, but He cannot force you to get into His Word. He's given us His Word, first of all, that we could be saved on our way to heaven. Once again, the Bible tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's in His Word. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation." That means when you get saved, you tell other people about Jesus Christ. Get saved today. Know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Get into the Word of God. Study it and let God lead you and help you to be the Christian you need to be after you get saved.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.